Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
I'm excited to share this morning. It's a little bit different than normal. We're going to be looking at a psalm in the Bible, but I know it's going to be a good, powerful message as we open our hearts to God to speak to us. And so we're going to be looking at a psalm written by an amazing man called David. And when you hear the name David, I don't know what you think. Maybe you think of King David. Maybe you think of Shepherd Boy David, or the poet and the psalmist David. Maybe you think of that classic story, David and Goliath, or David and Bathsheba, classic crazy tale of adultery and murder. Maybe you're here this morning and you have no idea who David is or who I'm talking about. But David was an amazing guy because he was, I think we can relate to him in so many ways. He was so flawed. He had his ups and downs. He made some big mistakes. Yet he loved God so much and God loved him so much. God actually called him a man after his own heart. And David was so honest and raw when he writes in the Bible. And I love that. I love that he wasn't ashamed to let it all out to God, but he always seemed to turn it to praise, despite what he was going through. And that's what's powerful about him. And I felt like a little bit of an emotional David this year. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I've been up and down and through my emotional struggles, and I felt like I've been letting it all out to God. But I know that if you're the same as me, maybe you've been unsettled this year with just 2020 in general. Maybe you've been going through family struggles, ups and downs. Maybe politics has got you, just emotional. Maybe your faith has been challenged, or even wondering if God is real. I know that as you read through the psalm today, God can do something powerful in your life. So I pray that he will do that. His word is powerful. It is alive. So let's read this morning and let's really trust that God's going to do something. So Father, as we read your word, I thank you that your word is so relevant and it's alive. And I thank you that as we read David's psalm, that you can speak to us by your Holy Spirit. You can do something powerful in each of our lives. You know our individual situations, and we just invite you here as we read your word to have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to read Psalm 103, and I'm just going to start by reading. I brought my actual Bible. I love my Bible because I can draw in it. I feel like such a rebel saying that. We're going to read Psalm 103, and we're going to read verses 1 to 12. So read with me. This is written by David. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. That's one of the benefits of following God. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's not the Eagles band, that's actual eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Actually, I don't know what those guys look like now. They're probably quite old. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. I love that. He works righteousness and justice for the oppressed, all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. That's our God. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. That's awesome. I love that. I've underlined that in my Bible. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. You know, I think as humans, as people, we harbor anger against people for a long time. And it says here that God will not harbor his anger forever. It's a challenge if you're harboring anger against someone this morning. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. That's his mercy. He will repay us according to our iniquities. That's his mercy there again. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I love that verse, that psalm, sorry, and it's just so powerful. And today we're just going to focus on the first five verses. And my message this morning is called Don't Forget. Because I love in the psalm, we're encouraged in verse 2 to forget not his benefits. And I am someone who forgets a lot. I don't know if you remember during lockdown, we did like a Mother's Day video with lots of mums telling their stories. And I've forgotten my kid before. I left my kid at church and got home and realized that I was one kid short. And it was on Mother's Day, which made it worse. And I've forgotten appointments. I've forgotten my mother-in-law's birthday. And the saddest thing about that was all her other kids forgot that day as well. So it was a really bad day. I forget things, especially when it's busy and I'm stressful. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Please tell me that you guys forget stuff. Yeah, that's why I'm such a list person. Like, I constantly put things in my calendar. I set reminders. I email myself things all the time. I tell you guys to email me things if you tell me stuff, because I know I can forget stuff. I will even write things on a list that I've done just so I can tick it off and feel good about myself. But I know my weakness to forget. And today, this passage says forget not, because I think God knows our weakness to forget as well. And I constantly forget his benefits. I constantly forget his benefits. And I think I got in this massive trap, and I still have to watch it with me, but I constantly focus on what's not happening, what went wrong, what I did wrong, what I'm not seeing. And I got in such a cycle of this a year ago that I would go to bed every night, and you know when you're just ready to go to sleep, that's when I'd start to process all that stuff. And it was a real trap, and I still have to watch myself, but the dumb thing is, as soon as I awoke, that blanket of those things I was just thinking about was right there. And I realized that I needed to start remembering God's benefits and remembering where he was good, because he is so much more better and bigger than any little thing I'm going through. And I started to have a habit every night of just writing down two or three things that I was thankful to God for. And I formed a habit, and honestly, it's changed my life. I end each day just so thankful, so grateful to God, whether it's something awesome that happened or whether it's just something that we take for granted. And so that's changed my life. But this morning, we're going to be intentional as we read this and remember the benefits of God. So let's work through it. Let's start at verse 1. And we're only doing 1 to 5. So verse 1 says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, my soul. It doesn't say complain the Lord, my soul. It says bless the Lord, my soul. And man, David went through so many tough things. He had spears thrown at him. He was hated by people. And yet he still praised the Lord. He still worshiped God no matter how tough his life was. And that's what I love about him. And I, like I said before, I can sometimes be more of a complain the Lord my soul sort of person. And David here is calling on his soul. In verse 1, he says, praise the Lord my soul. He's actually telling his soul to get in line. And sometimes we actually need to tell our soul, we need to command our soul what it should be doing and tell it who's boss. I think our soul's like a naughty kid sometimes. And, you know, it's so much easier, I think, to focus on the negative than positive. They say that negative emotions usually involve more thinking. Like, we process and think longer on negative things and unpleasant events, and we normally use stronger, harsher words to describe them. So negative emotions can be way more powerful than thinking about the happy times. We don't usually ponder those that as long and use strong words. But David knew his weakness in this. So guys, sometimes we have to tell our soul to praise the Lord. We need to get it in line, even when we don't feel like it. And that's why I love coming to church, because every week, no matter how my week has been, I get my soul to praise. I love being with you guys. That worship this morning was just so powerful, and I need to just worship him, and it's like I get my soul back in line. I'm going to praise God no matter what. I'm going to declare his goodness. That's why I love church every week. Thank you, worship team, for your sacrifice. You keep me going week to week. It's so good. Give them a hand. They're amazing. Wednesday nights they're here and they're early and they're to both services they're serving. So you guys are so amazing. You help us get our soul in line. But you know, the most powerful worship is when we worship when we are going through tough stuff, because it's a sacrifice of praise. And I think that worship is so beautiful to God because he knows that it's a sacrifice. And when I think about sacrificial worship, I think about Job. He's an amazing guy in the Bible. If you haven't read the book of Job, do. He suddenly lost in one day all of his 10 kids and all of his possessions, everything he owned. And there's a really powerful line in there. I think he shaved his head in grief, but then he got up and he worshipped the Lord. And I think, man, if Job can do that, what am I complaining about? You know, and I know some of your stories, and then I see you worshiping, and it encourages and challenges me. So we need to tell our soul, verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul. We need to tell our soul to get in line, because we don't worship because we feel like it. We worship God because of who he is. He's holy and he's worthy. It's a good quote there. I should make that into a little quote and put my name on it like Simon was saying last week. Verse 2, let's look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, praise the Lord my soul and forget not all his benefits. And this is what I was talking about. My message is called Don't Forget, because we're going to look at the next three verses and see what the benefits of actually following God are. Because you guys, do you realize there are actually benefits of following God? There's amazing benefits and we forget them. And, you know, the study of the brain is so interesting because your brain actually has to forget things to be able to keep remembering. It would actually not be able to function if it remembered everything. So your brain did not remember, unless it was absolutely amazing or absolutely awful, your brain would not remember what you had for dinner 2 months ago on Wednesday. If you can tell me, I'm very impressed. But your brain remembers important things like your name, and where you live, and where you parked your car at the warehouse. Although, I'm getting really worried lately because I do struggle with that one a bit. My brain forgets. But your brain remembers the important things. And when it comes to things like exams, and I'm thinking of all you kids going through exams at the moment, and adults, you guys are amazing. When it comes to exams and scriptures and stuff, you have to work really hard with repetition and reminding yourself so you can remember stuff like that, because I think you need to remind your brain, this is important, this is important. And yet so often we don't remember and repeat the benefits of God and his blessings, and we forget them, and we need to remember them. We need to keep reminding ourselves of them. But we focus on the negative. We focus on the things that aren't going right. But we're told in verse 2, praise the Lord my soul and forget not all his benefits. And we so need to remember that. Don't forget them. That's a theme right throughout the Bible. Like, God is always telling his people, tell others of what I've done for you. Record it. Write it down. Sing it. Tell the next generations. Tell your children of my good works. And it's a challenge to us that we need to keep reminding ourselves and telling others of his benefits. So are you guys ready to read what the benefits of following God are? Let's read that first one. Verse 3. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Wow. God is a forgiving God. He forgives all your sins. And if you've come to God for forgiveness, you are forgiven. And you need to remember that. Just don't let the enemy hang shame over your life or fear. He loves to put labels over you, and you often will repeat them to yourself. And I just wanted to say that once you've come to God, that banner of shame over your life has been ripped off. That banner of shame has gone. And I don't know whether you've got people in your family that keep reminding you of your failures. It's like a banner you wear, or your workmates, or just you yourself, or the enemy's whispering it to you, and you keep thinking, oh, I'm such a whatever. I did that, you know, it ruined my life. That banner of shame over your life is gone. And I was recently ripping some really old, disgusting wallpaper off one of the rooms in our house. It was so like dark navy and really old. And I just got a picture of that with God. He's just ripped off. All the old has gone over your life. And you need to remember that. That banner of shame over your life is gone. You have a new name. You have a new purpose. You have a new life. He forgives all your sins. And some people need to be reminded of that this morning. You now walk in the posture of someone who is forgiven. That's the posture. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. It doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted. But you have that posture of forgiveness over your life as you walk, as you come to God daily. When you slip up, you come to Him for forgiveness. He forgives all your sins. So remember that you walk in a posture of forgiveness now. And when I was young, I, for some reason, grew quicker than my friends at some point. I think I went through puberty early, and I was so tall. And I used to slouch, because when you're with a group of friends and you're tall, you sort of just hang out like this with them. And my brother was the same. We both became quite tall quite quickly. I don't think I'm really tall now, but it just happened early. And I remember my parents telling me, Christy, you need to keep your posture good. Like, you need to stand with your shoulders back, because if you stay like this, you might just stay like that forever. And I hated it, but I remember what they said, because I didn't want my posture to sort of set a certain way. And you know what? You need to remember that your life, you walk under a posture of forgiveness. You may not feel like you're amazing, but when you're forgiven by God, He sees you as amazing. So stand with your shoulders back. You've got that posture. You are forgiven. That's the banner over your life. You walk under that posture. And can I just mention, that's how we're meant to walk towards with others as well, with a posture of forgiveness towards others. It's hard. But we live like our God. We walk and we offer forgiveness to those that annoy us and hurt us and offend us, because we have that banner of forgiven over our lives. We offer that to others. So don't forget that. Live your life with the posture of forgiveness. And, you know, He forgives all our sins. Culture is currently redefining what sin is. I think it updates what's sinful and what's not every year. Yeah, this is where you find out what sin is before God. But so nowadays it sounds too harsh to call something sins, and we redefine it. But redefining sin doesn't remove sin. It doesn't remove sin. It's sort of like putting lipstick on a pig. That's what I think. It's still a pig. Or like painting a grave a really nice colour. It's still got death in there. And we can't dress up sin to make it better. You know, that actually happened in the very beginning of the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, they dressed up their sin with fig leaves to try and make it okay. But God had to kill an innocent animal to temporarily cover their sin. And it's an amazing foreshadowing of Jesus coming. Until Jesus came and took away our sin completely, an innocent party had to be killed to cover our sin. So let's not dress up sin. Let's not rename sin. Let's call it what it is. But let's remember that God washes it away as we come to Him. He's so amazing. God is the one who first covers you. You will never be able to cover yourself. You can't cover it with good works or renaming stuff. Only God can take away your sin. An innocent party who never sinned was brought into the situation to cover for you. Jesus. So let's walk in that posture of forgiveness. That's one of the benefits of God. He forgives all your sins. And another benefit is that He heals all your diseases. And I love that. I love that we serve a God who forgives our sin and heals all our diseases. And you know how I was talking about walking in that posture of forgiveness? God wants us to walk in that posture of believing that He is our healer. Spirit, soul, and body. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And I think we all know people who we've prayed for and we haven't seen them healed. And maybe they've died. But you know, we don't know why, but I still choose to believe that God is my healer. And I still choose to have faith that I will see Him do amazing healings. And I'm loving hearing the stories from the ministry team seeing that happen. But there's a problem that comes when we build a framework of thinking around our disappointments. It's like we start to have that posture that's bent a certain way. And we walk our whole life with that bent way of thinking and that bent posture of disappointment towards God when it comes to things like healing. It's like we're disfigured in an area. And I just want to challenge you today, check your posture when you think about the Lord as your healer. And no matter what you've experienced, dare to believe what God's word says and keep believing it till you see it. And if you're not seeing it, just glorify him with your life anyway. And I love seeing you guys that aren't seeing the healing you want to see, but you still glorify God. You still allow him to use your life in amazing ways, but you still believe that the Lord is your healer. And that's so powerful. And you celebrate with others who are seeing good things. And I love that. Craig Rochelle says, no matter what I see, I choose faith. No matter what I feel, I choose faith. Even in my doubts, I will lift my hands. Even in the waiting, I believe that he is good. So that's a challenge for me, because my posture can get a bit bent when I'm disappointed or don't see what I want to see. But I read this and it says, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And I love that. So good. It's a benefit of following God. What's another benefit? Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. I love that. God doesn't just forgive your sins and diseases, but he redeems your life. And I sort of had a picture that, you know, God doesn't see us in a pit. And he's like, hey, Christy down there, I forgive you. You're forgiven. And you're healed. Cool. See you later. Have a good time in your pit. That's not our God. There's so much more to him than forgiveness and healing and wholeness. He's actually the most amazing God because he redeems our life from the pit. He gives us a new purpose. He gives us hope. I love that. And there's so many stories in the Bible of people that were stuck in pits. I was thinking the other day, there are just even more than I've listed, but there were, Jeremiah was thrown in a pit where he sank into the mud up to his armpits. Daniel was thrown in a pit that we know was the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown in a pit of fire, a furnace. Joseph, his brothers threw him in a pit, in a well, and then they had mercy on him and rescued him and sold him as a slave. It's not really mercy. But there's just so many stories, but we see that God rescued all those people from the pit. And then we get to David, who wrote the psalm. And, you know, there are other pits that aren't literal, but man, he was in a pit a lot of the time. He had Saul chasing him for years. I think he hid in caves, he'd had spears thrown at him. People wanted to turn against him and kill him when things didn't go right. So he was in a pit. And I don't know what your guys' pits are. Some of you have been through really tough mental health pits, maybe business pits or relationship pits. I just want to encourage you, don't forget that God is one who redeems you from the pit. That's one of the benefits of following God. He redeems you from that. And he doesn't just rescue us from the pit. He crowns us with love and with compassion. Honestly, I think the world paints God so differently than what his word says. And when you read the Bible, you see what an amazing, compassionate God we serve. He crowns us with love and compassion no matter what we've done. No matter how society may reject you or say you have no hope, God sees you and he crowns you like royalty with love and compassion. And I love that so much. He saw you in a pit, sinful, covered in mud, and he got you out, and he forgave you, and he washed you clean. But he didn't stop there. He gave you new hope, new life, and he crowned you with his love and compassion. He really likes you. He doesn't just love you, he really likes you. And I think we need to remember that that's a benefit of following God. That's what he does for you. And if you haven't experienced that, that's what he wants to do from you, for you. He loves you so much and he's got so much hope for your life. And the love and compassion he's got for you, that's not just for you. That's for you to share with others. And that's the joy of the message that we have, that we can share hope that we've received with others. And as you walk about your day, don't forget that all around you are people currently in pits. Maybe they open up to you about what they're struggling with or what they're going through, but you know the one, and through you, you can see people rescued and find hope. We serve a redemptive God, and I love that about God. He makes our lives new again. And I just really felt today, I don't know whether it's someone here or on live stream, that you've actually been in such a pit that you're saying the words, there's honestly no hope. And I want to say to you that God sees you and he says there is hope. There is hope around the corner. Do not give up. And if you're here, come and get prayer. Or if you're online, message us or contact someone you know that has faith in Jesus and they will pray with you and stand with you, because that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. There is always hope, and there is so much hope for your life. So we serve a God who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. And fifth verse, last verse, we serve a God who satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I love that. Following God means your desires will be satisfied with good things. And note that it says good things. God knows what's good for us. We have to trust that. And it's so easy to get caught in the trap of trying to satisfy ourselves with things that aren't necessarily bad, but we're trying to fill ourselves and find that satisfaction not from God first. And I want to ask you, what or who do you turn to when you need satisfaction in your life? Because nothing will satisfy like God. Nothing satisfies like him. We're satisfied by him, we're strengthened, and we're renewed when we come to him for our satisfaction. And I just want to remind you, because sometimes we forget, possessions don't satisfy. Money doesn't satisfy. Fame does not satisfy. Praise from people doesn't bring long-term satisfaction. Alcohol and drugs won't fill that eternal need that you've got for satisfaction. Awards and accolades and certificates, they don't bring satisfaction. Relationships don't. They all leave you empty. Firstly, remember that God is the one who satisfies. And this year, man, it's a year that's going to go down in history for us. If it's left you feeling really sapped of strength and just dissatisfied with life, I want to encourage you, who are you turning to, or what are you turning to for satisfaction? 2020's been a year of probably turning to the food or the media, TV, just to forget about stuff, escape. Maybe it's been the year of just hinging our hopes on our politicians because they're going to save us. I don't know what it's looked like for you, but maybe you need to return to Jesus for your satisfaction first. Because it says in the Bible, in verse 5, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And you know you've got true satisfaction when your youth is renewed, when that strength comes again to keep going. And I love that. I love that about our God. So we're going to conclude this morning, and I'm going to get the communion team to hand out the emblems. And I think it's so cool that actually this morning we've been reading this verse that talks about not forgetting, and then we're going to take communion where we're reminded not to forget what Jesus did. But I want to give you guys some homework this morning because we've been reading through Psalm 103 and we've just looked at the first 5 verses, and I only read up to verse 12, but I want to give you homework to read the whole psalm, because it's honestly amazing. And when you read it slowly and you think about how amazing your God is, it does something inside. So do that. Let me know if you've done it. I'll be very impressed. My accolades will not satisfy you, but you will feel good. But this morning, we're going to take communion together. I love communion with my church family. And I love that this verse in Psalm 103, that the psalm, says, forget not his benefits. And I love that as Jesus led the disciples in the first communion at the Last Supper, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Because once again, Jesus knew we forget stuff. And so when we do this, here's a church, we do it once a month on the first Sunday. There's someone that I talked to that was on creche on the first Sunday of every month, and they're like, do we ever do communion as a church? I was like, yeah, we do it like every month. And they're like, oh, I've never had it. I felt real sting. I should take communion over there for them. But, you know, Jesus, as he took communion, he said, do this in remembrance of me, because he knows our tendency to forget God's goodness. And I think when we take communion, it's like our eyes and our hearts, our soul is drawn back to the truth of it all and what really matters. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 23b to 25, where Jesus is having the Last Supper, and he said, "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.'" He said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget." And I think sometimes as Christians, we can do things so often in church or in our lives that we just take it for granted. And that's why we need to forget not his benefits. And that's why communion's so important, because we're drawn back to forget not. So as we take communion this morning, we're going to come humbly before God. We've got to remember once again the goodness of God, because don't you guys see that even just with 5 verses this morning, we've seen how good he is? We've got to remember the goodness of God, a God who forgives our sins, a God who heals our diseases, a God who redeems our life from the pit, no matter how dirty your life was, no matter how disastrous, no matter whether you made the most stupidest mistakes ever, he redeems your life from the pit. A God who crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. He cares about your need for satisfaction, and he wants to fill it. And who renews our youth. And that through Jesus dying on the cross, his body broken and his blood shed, that's available for everyone.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.